Good morning, Dubai. It's Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Love in Dubai show. We actually had a lot of big news updates from the UAE government. They spoke about unemployment, passport extension, and also illicit website removal. We talked about the most annoying or genius ad in Dubai right now and the resident distributing thousands of iftar meals a day.
And so, if you are not subscribed to the Love in Dubai show podcast, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget, as always, to enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Our top story for you today, the UAE government's recent decisions on employment based on unemployment, passport extension, and also illicit website removal.
As well, Eid al-Fitr might join us on the 10th of April.
We also want you to meet the resident helping donate thousands of meals a day throughout the holy month of Ramadan. His name is Ahmed Ali. He'll be with us on the show later.
As well, Dubai buildings have been adapted for people of determination.
And is it marketing genius or a pain in your face? The recognizable ad that's taken over Dubai. All of that can be up in the show today.
As well, thousands of iftar meals a day, because it is day 165 days since the genocide began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has risen up to 31,726, while 73,792 have been injured, and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes.
Dubai Iftar time today is 6:33, and you can find the latest prayer times on Love in Dubai website. I know that's something Farah is keenly
yes.
looking forward to, as she mentioned before the show. Walks the dog today saying she's so tired. And that might be me tomorrow, because I'm going to join you fasting, and I would love
yes.
tips for Sahur, because I've fasted once successfully.
Okay. Yeah.
But I just slept through. But okay. you're telling me that the health benefits are to be healthy, I should wake up for Sahur. So if you have tips on what I should eat, because usually my breakfast is like very basic. It's like banana, apple, granola.
I have a huge list for you, Casey. So Sahur is very important. It needs to be a proper meal. It's like breakfast, you know, and breakfast should be filled with like proteins and so on, because proteins do fill you up,
okay.
of course.
Proteins?
Now, yes, protein. You need to have like either eggs or like, you know, like just like make sure that it's filled with like proteins.
Like beans, and like, lentils and things?
I mean, I don't have lentils. We don't have lentils for Sahur, but technically
protein.
You need to have like either cheese,
labneh,
or yeah. It fills you up, because if you're filled up, if you have enough protein in your body, it's like it was breakfast. You are gonna be feeling better throughout. You know, of course you're gonna crash. Of course, we all crash. I can confirm that. Crashing happens. I'm sure, because I can reassure you that Ali, Mast, and everyone who's fasting, just like at like 1 p.m., everyone's
yeah,
like.
Of course.
Okay, I need to sleep. Because, like, you know, people do sleep it off, because they wake up for a prayer and then they get back home and they sleep. And then, you know, it's like a different scenario.
Speaking of that, two things. One, I have high intentions to go to the gym tomorrow at 4:30.
Okay.
How likely is that if I'm fasting?
4:30, of course, p.m.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very healthy, by the way, to go work out before iftar. It's very healthy. You know, just make sure to not overstress your body. Like, it's better if you would work out, I would say an hour before iftar rather than like 2 hours before iftar, because your body is gonna get dehydrated.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yes.
And then my second question is, I'm planning to drive to iftar, which is downtown.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Should I just get a taxi?
I mean, depends on your energy levels, because when you are fasting, you tend to forget, you tend to do things that you don't even like, you're going to think later on, like, what? How can I? I've been driving for so long and I missed the exit. I've been driving, you know what I mean? All of these tiny mistakes, which is why, by the way, during Ramadan, accidents are more
especially
higher.
In the first couple
yes.
of days. And then tomorrow will be my first day, so I don't want to cause an accident.
Exactly. And of course, you know, like, as we say, like, God, you know, protect you. We say, like, Allah, you know, we say that, like, you know, we don't want any harm. But if you feel like you are able to, sure, go ahead. Just make sure not to pressure yourself. And I would say, if you would want to work out at 4:30, considering the fact that Ramadan, the fast is going to be breaking at like 6:30, 33 to be very specific, I think maybe it's too early because your body is going to get dehydrated and then your brain is not going to be functioning properly.
But the iftar is downtown and we know it takes about 3 years to get from this side of town to that side of town.
That is true. Time. Exactly. You know, and by the way, you need to consider as well the traffic.
That's what I meant.
Yes, yeah. The traffic is crazy.
That's what I meant. It takes so long to get down. So if I do 4:30, yes, finish at 5:30, shower, look a little bit.
But are you going to be in the mental state and capacity to drive?
You tell me. That's what I'm asking.
I mean, I can't just say anything because it depends on you. It depends from one person to another. You know, for example, like with my dad, when he is like driving, like, and we have gatherings. Like we had a gathering. It's a very big gathering the past weekend, and my dad was like hungry and he's like, you know, and because he's so hungry and he is very calm and he just like doesn't really react. So I can tell he's angry. I can tell he's pissed, but he's probably like very, like he just wants to reach. He just wants to reach. So everyone's trying to reach and everyone wants to have iftar and everyone thinks that, you know, if they're going to do these things, they're going to reach on time. They're not going to reach on time, of course, but if you know what I mean. And so if you think that it is, honestly, I think you should not drive. Don't drive.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah,
really
I think don't drive. And even take, by the way, the metro if you can.
Not.
It's not there. Yeah.
Not helpful.
But what I would say is have suhoor for sure. Okay. And make sure not to stock up on water because that's a mistake.
Not to.
Drink water, of course. Just make sure not to over drink water because then that is not good. People think like, oh yeah, you know what? Fine, I have this like huge bottle of water and I'm gonna be like, you know, like gagging up on it every single second.
It
you know,
says here
really
at Sahur, 2 to 3 cups is kind of the suggested amount of water to avoid dehydration.
That's true. And of course, you know, just make sure don't think too much because then when you're thinking, your brain is working. And eventually you're going to get hungry. Oh. So that is why they say, you know, like at Ramadan,
overthinking makes you hungry.
It does.
Think less, be less hungry.
It does, because you guys think about it, you know, like when you are, let's say, during work, before Ramadan, I used to snack a lot because I would be hungry. It's normal. I'm working and my brain is working. I'm moving. I'm this and that and so on. It's normal. So you need to try to be as zen as possible, as peaceful as possible. Just like be in your own, like I would say, like think. Just like make sure not to like overdo it. You know what I mean? You know, and make sure that you are don't talk a lot because then you're gonna get really thirsty. And I can confirm that.
Okay, so I'm gonna cancel the show.
It's fine. You know what I mean? But the most important thing is to have suhoor. Make it filled with proteins, and yeah.
For my day fasting tomorrow, advice is have sahur, probably don't drive, talk less, think less, and also masa. Oh, sorry. talk less and think less. That's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. 8:39, jumping into our top story of today. The UAE government cabinet discussion yesterday, they talked about unemployment, passport extension, and illicit website removed. So yesterday, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Vice President and Prime Minister of the UAE and ruler of Dubai, chaired a cabinet meeting at Qasr Al Watan in Abu Dhabi, where key decisions were announced. Based on the validity of the Emirati passport, the UAE's unemployment insurance scheme, and how the UAE is tackling illicit websites.
Now, here are the other highlights. His Highness announced that more than 7 million workers are now beneficiaries of the UAE's unemployment insurance scheme. And in an update to the UAE passport policies, His Highness announced the extension of the validity period of Emirati passports fruits from 5 to 10 years for adults above 21 years, he also shared a significant step in combating illicit activities online. The UAE Council for Digital Wellbeing, in cooperation with social media platforms, has removed 160,000 websites and social media accounts promoting drugs and other illicit activities to protect the nation's youth.
So many great updates there. You know, as a parent, you can say, hey, please don't go onto this website. But if it's staring a child in the face, it's very difficult for them to understand what's right and wrong. So the UAE is doing that for you, removing 160,000 illicit websites. The meeting also discussed the health insurance system for private sector employees, and they improved health insurance system for registered employees in the private sector and the domestic workers who do not have existing health coverage. So according to this new system, employers and private sector employees, along with employers of domestic workers in the UAE, will be required to pay for the health insurance coverage for their registered workers upon issuance or renewal of their residency permits. Now, this won't come into effect in 2025. There'll be a lot of awareness and information about this in the coming months, so you know exactly what that means for you. So, for example, if you have a domestic worker in your household and you are the employer, you will be required to do the insurance for them. But more information on that to come. It was announced yesterday at the cabinet meeting.
I mean, this is it's such a proud moment for me too, because the fact that I'm considered to be part of the social media generation that is right now, I do see how actually social media is a huge part of our life. And I as well see, on the other hand, that a lot of people do get affected and easily fooled by accounts and drugs and just, let's say, illegal substances, right? I have heard a lot of, like, young people getting their life, I would say, them, let's say, canceling their life, going to jail because of illegal substance. And this is all, by the way, due to, like, social media. They are normalizing it and so on. And the fact that they're closing 160,000 accounts just shows, you know, or just maybe gives me hope that, you know, maybe that would be a better place in on social media.
And the fact that there were 160,000 websites that they needed to remove just is mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. You know, just on the social media thing, that you can get safety put onto iPhones for kids and stuff, but I just wonder how common it is and whether or not, like, teenagers will actually let their parents add it on.
Yeah.
However, 8:43, let's jump into our next story.
So you guys, Eid al-Fitr might join us on the 10th of April. Eid al-Fitr is a celebration that marks the end of Muslims fasting in Ramadan. And so it is called Celebration of Breaking Fast. I translated it from Arabic to English. It is, of course, only decided through moon sighting too. However, it is expected to take place on the 10th of April this year, as Ibrahim Al-Jarwan, the head of the Emirates Astronomy Society's board of directors, has stated that according to the Islamic agreement, and so Muslims will observe a 30-day fasting period.
So the appearance of the Shawwal crescent will coincide with a total solar eclipse on April 8th, which is super exciting. The crescent's emergence before midnight suggests that it will likely be visible after sunset the next day across the Islamic world. Now, actual dates will still need to be determined by the moon sighting community in the UAE, so we'll wait for that. And that also means we'll wait for public holiday dates from official authorities in the UAE.
I'm so excited for this. Of course, you know, like, everyone's like, oh my God, Eid is on the 10th of April. We don't know, as you mentioned, you know, because we're going to be having to wait for the, moon sighting committee to confirm the dates. Mm-hmm. But we're all hoping, and let's manifest the date of 10th of April.
As we said, more details on that to come, but let's jump into our next story. So Dubai buildings have been adapted for people of determination. So we talk so much in this city about inclusion, but how often do we see it put it into practice? And that's why this story is so special. So Dubai's RTA has completed phase 3 of a project to retrofit its buildings and facilities to make them accessible and more friendly for people of determination.
as well, a total of 26 buildings and facilities have been qualified to meet the set standards, including the head office, 15 bus stations, 4 multi-level parking terminals, 2 customer happiness centers, 5 administrative buildings, and Al Jadaf Marine Transportation Station.
The RTA has also announced its commitment to the ongoing rehabilitation, maintenance and enhancement of its facilities to improve their accessibility and meet the standards of the Dubai Building Code standards for people of determination. It's so interesting. We've had Shabika Karla, who is an advocate for accessibility in Dubai. I think she was in a cinema in India when she was mm-hmm. younger, and she realized how poor the accessibility was for people of determination. And then she made it her mission to go into Dubai and ensure that offices have ramps, really basic things, even kind of like the height of taps and things are adjusted to ensure that everyone is able to access the building as they so rightly should. And there's obviously baby steps to be done every single day, but it is amazing to see the RTA pushing on this and completing the project to ensure that at least all RTA buildings are accessible.
I love seeing inclusivity for everyone. You know, we have seen inclusivity for all cultures, all religions, and all nations. And now the fact that they are even including that for people of determination, just to include them in everything, you know, to have them live the normal life that they deserve, right? Like, because I think it's their right to go to the metro, to go use the bus, use public transportation, and live their life, because we don't know what's in their head. We might look at them like, oh, we feel bad for them, we sympathize with them, and so on. But in their heads, it's like, yeah, but I'm normal. So let me just be, let me just, I don't know, go to the metro. Let me just go to, like, ride the bus station. Let me, you know what I mean? All these things. So I think it's like, honestly, it's a beautiful step that mm-hmm. I am looking forward to.
Yeah, and I think it is. We've had some great conversations on the show before about how small little adjustments can be made in offices mm-hmm. that would make all the difference. We've had people on the show before discussing it. So it is things that you can look into and just maybe look around your office and question yourself and speak to your boss and say, is this building accessible? And if not, what can be done?
Yes.
Speaking of something that is
okay.
incredibly
oh,
accessible to your eyes in Dubai.
I don't even want to talk about this, but the recognizable ad that has taken all over Dubai, and by the way, not only Dubai, I don't think this needs any further explanation other than you must have seen it everywhere. Alfred, of course, if you guys don't know Alfred, that's the guy behind us, is everywhere all around the country. And if you live under a rock, here is a brief of who is Alfred. You are driving in Dubai and you see the insurance ad, and then you continue driving in another area and there it is again.
Or you're listening to the radio and people are asking who's the marketing behind this ad. And also in this video that's gone viral on TikTok, the question is, what was the budget approved for this ad? Now, the comments are a mixed bag, and we posted it. It's racked up hundreds of thousands of views. Some people are saying, marketing professionals, this is one of the most successful marketing campaigns ever. On the contrary, many are done with the ad, and they're even changing radio stations when it turns on. First of all, question, we put it to you, Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, podcast, answer yourselves later.
Yeah.
Are you driving on the road right now and can you see the ad? Is it something you've seen? And what are your thoughts?
I mean, I love listening to the radio. And it's, to me personally, it's like kind of like very like, khalas, habibi, khalas, I'm done with this. It's like, oh, insurancemarket.ae. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm in the car and I see it everywhere. Everywhere. I don't know if this is like a genius marketing technique. I don't agree with that. Because I think honestly, like as from what I think just like putting something for too much like that in people's faces can get kind of like annoying. And it can cause like a reverse
reaction.
But look
at his trustworthy face. He's adorable. He's like the guy that you'll trust with your... They've obviously put like AI create the most trustworthy face of a cute man, like an older man. You know, he's not our age. He's got wisdom. He's got knowledge. He's going to help you with your insurance. I'm a trustworthy guy. I'm in your face.
He looks like the guy that would stick to you. like, you know, like the guy that's like, hey, do you want this? It's like, no, thank
you. Well, he is a bit clingy.
Do you want this?
But do we mind?
I do.
First of all, I am a customer of Insurance Market, right? Is that how it works? Because they're an aggregator of insurance. Because, as you know, we're in a city, there's a lot of startups, there's a lot of companies. And then when you see something potentially with that scale of budget, there's a bit of a trust there that even though it's an aggregator, because you know that with aggregators, you lose money because you know that you're paying the middleman a little fee. However, because I've seen it so much and actually they did an all right job, I am a user. But I, yeah, but I would say on the show, for example, we don't talk about brands unless we have a collaboration, unless there's a paid deal there.
100%,
that's the nature of what we do is we talk about news, community stories. We talk about what you guys are talking about because we want to be a conversational channel. In this case, I have to say it is marketing genius. Because there is no way we'd ever talk, because we're discussing the ad. The ad has become a conversation. The number of radio jingles that we've heard, the number, like, they've billboards everywhere. And because of the amount that they've put out there, it's become a conversation. We're talking about it now. They have done their work.
I'm only talking about this because it's annoying to me.
But
honestly, I mean, look,
but that's,
I don't
that's what
know.
Radio jingles intentionally are catchy. They stick in your head.
Yeah.
Like I'll be like at home and I'll be going over the there's a couple of radio ads that just stick in your head and they intentionally do that. They've got techniques in terms of repetition to
but,
stick in your head.
You know, this, by the way, that not that these things don't, I would say, give me the want to, let's say, like, you know, like, I don't know, call Alfred or go to insurance.com or whatever it is. I wouldn't do that. You know, I'd be like, you know what, since they keep on doing that, I'm not going to do that. I don't know. It's like maybe because I'm just like hungry, but it's fine.
Well, yeah. Fair enough. Let's go through some of the comments on it. So one person thinks it's one of the most irritating radio ad jingles. One person says, not a great ad. I change channels when I hear it. So this video questioned how much it costs. So what was the budget? So usually a bridge banner, according to an Instagram user, so take it with a pinch of salt. Mm-hmm. Usually a bridge banner like this, very interestingly, can cost 90 to 100,000 dirham per month. A Unipol banner, someone explain that for me, is between 60 and 90k per month. But the brands will obviously buy them in bulk, so they get a better price. So overall, they might spend between 500k to 1 million on a monthly marketing campaign. And this money usually comes from investors.
Look at this comment. Alfred gives me anxiety.
Why?
Because he's adorable. No.
Look at him.
No, he looks like the guy that
was happiness. He is like, pure.
No.
He is joy. He is trust. He is a sweetheart. He's. Do you have Werther's Originals? They're these really old sweets that you know,
authentic.
No, they're just like really old traditional sweets that we grew up on. That like your granddad would always have.
Yeah.
Or like the ambassador, like, but they were a bit fancy. And
he would
be giving out the Werther's Original sweets.
Yeah, but
in a not creepy way.
Okay, fine.
Remove the creep from that.
Oh, yeah.
He's nice man giving sweets.
I'm going to, you know what? Let me tell you, he reminds me of what? He reminds me of the uncle that
nice
keeps
uncle.
On sticking to you. It's like, oh, good morning, do you? It's like, khalas, I understand, stop it.
Insurance Market, I think you've done a great job here. We wouldn't be discussing it otherwise, and I'm a customer. Because I don't know, like, you. Even though it's an aggregator, I trusted, and they've done a brilliant job for me.
Maybe it's an intern who wanted to prove himself, and so he put it everywhere. And now it's annoying everyone.
An intern with a million dirhams spent.
Maybe, you never know. Maybe he just, maybe he got the job.
Well, time will tell. There's also a lot of people that said, by the way, to be fair, as a marketing specialist, this is one of the most successful marketing campaigns I've ever seen. They're making it happy for them. Mixed bag of comments. 8:54 on a Tuesday morning, we're going to bring you to our next guest, the resident who's distributing thousands of iftar meals every day. And also we'll talk about how you can help. Stay tuned. He's going to be with us after this short break. Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Today's guest is Ahmed Ali, founder of Draw a Smile. Ahmed has spread joy with Ramadan meal distributions. He's also volunteered near the Rafah border supporting Palestinian children. We're thrilled to have him on the show this morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here again. So I would like to ask you, how long have you had this initiative for?
So I've been volunteering since I was 15.
Wow.
So it's been around 21 years so far, alhamdulillah. This initiative specifically, since I moved to Dubai 7.5 years ago, that's when I first started getting involved in different volunteering activities here in Dubai. And then 5 years ago, I met Bobby from Classic Catering, the kitchen where we're doing the meals. And alhamdulillah, every single year, we've been there every day doing as many meals as we can.
Wow. Where did you grow up that you started volunteering
London.
When you were 15? London. And what
London.
Were you doing then?
Everything. So I started volunteering in my school, helping in the summer holidays, getting paid for moving stuff around from the labs when they were moving around. And then started getting involved in homeless projects on the streets, giving out meals on the streets. Recycling, doing events, fundraising events. Alhamdulillah, I've gotten involved in a lot of things over the years.
That's amazing. And did that come from your family, your surroundings? Was everyone else donating as well? So it's something you just started joining, or did it just come from you?
I just found that my passion is to help people and to make an impact wherever I can. And my message is that together we can achieve anything, even if it's just one meal at a time or one dirham at a time or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be big, because a lot of people think that if I want to do good, I have to do so, mm-hmm. I have to go big. No, actually, just one person, if every single one of us does one meal,
something.
For example, we've done a million meals. I try and encourage people to do something positive a day.
Amazing. Speaking of meals, how many meals do you give out daily?
So yesterday, for example, we hit the biggest one for this year so far of 2,000 meals. Yes, the day before we did 1,500, the day before 1,576, the day before 1,000. So it really just depends on how many meals have been purchased, because it's all down to how many meals are bought, to be honest.
How was it setting up Draw a Smile? Tell us where the initial idea comes from. Is it always throughout Ramadan, or do you do things throughout the year?
So Draw a Smile started in 2009. I was frustrated that I wanted to do some good, and I couldn't really find many places to do it, especially in Egypt. I'm originally Egyptian. So I decided, you know what, let me start my own initiative. I can fundraise myself and see, what we can do in London and bring the community together at the same time of making an impact in the community in Egypt. So we started in 2009, literally just created a quick Facebook post saying, guys, next Friday, let's have a meeting. And then since then, it just grew, alhamdulillah. So since I moved to Dubai, we've created just a volunteer group. So we have a WhatsApp group of 1,000 people at the moment. So I had to create another group because the capacity is too full for WhatsApp. We try and get involved throughout the whole year. So for me as well, it's not just Ramadan. I mean, it's great that everybody helps during Ramadan, but people are in need throughout the whole year. So even if it's, every Sunday, for example, we do little snack packs for the workers, just to show our appreciation to the delivery drivers, the gardeners, the security guards. And it's a pack of paratha, a juice, a crisp, a biscuit, nothing too, mm-hmm. Too expensive. That it's just a little appreciation to show all the hard work that the laborers and workers do for us.
Can you elaborate on the specific initiatives Draw a Smile undertakes?
So Draw a Smile specifically, because we're a volunteer group, we get involved in different initiatives as much as we can. My first initiative that I got involved with was with Do the Ma'idat Rahman program 7 years ago. It was in Al-Quds, and they hired out a football pitch, and we were packing Ramadan boxes every day. We did around 2,000, 3,000 boxes, and then we'd go distribute. So specifically, Draw a Smile just gets involved in whatever and wherever we can. I mean, there isn't anything specific. Ramadan is mainly iftar meals and so on. We also do iftar meals in Egypt, and we support in other parts as well. So we try and do what we can with our little resources.
I want to ask where the resources come from, but also just, it sounds like what you're doing is just phenomenal for one person to be giving back in every way possible. Can I ask, do you work?
I do. I do. But what I've learned is, so I used to work in construction. And when I was in London, I used to hide in the bathrooms because I was used to be so exhausted after from all of the charity work that I do after work that I just used to nap in the bathroom for 20 minutes. So it is exhausting. I do have a full-time job. But alhamdulillah, my full-time job now, I'm an operations manager for a global Australian NGO. It's still within my passion as well. So alhamdulillah, I'm privileged to be able to do that as a full-time job as well.
Amazing.
That's actually amazing. But of course, you know, like it's not easy to stay and juggle both at the same time. So what would you say is your motto in life?
Together we can.
Wow.
Together we can. Because honestly, I mean, a lot of people think for you to do good, you need to go big. You don't need money. Money helps. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, anyone can go out and you can open the door for someone and just say thank you. That's you doing something and drawing a smile on someone's face. I mean, you don't have to do anything major to make an impact. And this is what I try and encourage people. I mean, on my social media, I've been posting a positive quote every day for the last 6 years. Every single day, I post something positive because everyone scrolls through social media and you see so much out there. I'm like, why not post something that someone can relate to? Alhamdulillah, it works. You know, someone messages me saying, I really needed to hear that today. That's changed my mood or whatever. So there's little tips and tricks that you can do just to make your day, you know, make someone's day better.
Speaking of making someone's day better, so what you're doing at the moment during Ramadan Dubai is incredible, but you've also been volunteering with children close to the Rafah border.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about that.
So with my role as operations manager at MATW, I've had the privilege to travel around the world. I've gone to Egypt, onto the border with Rafah. We've had some trucks go through. We've done a total of 78 trucks from Egypt, full of medical aid, food aid, and so on. So I had the privilege to go to Rafah and visit some of the Palestinian families that have entered into Rafah, those that are getting treated. And we went and gave them some toys and had a fun evening with them.
We keep hearing in the news that it's difficult for the trucks to get through. What's actually happening?
Politics. So trucks are still going in every day, but it's very limited. So that's why they started doing all the airdrops. And I know yesterday the UAE did the 10th one yesterday.
Yes.
So I think everyone doing what they can, to be honest, because it's a very volatile situation and every day something changes. So you just have to adjust to whatever's happening on that day. Mm-hmm. But you just have to do what you got to do.
So you just mentioned a lot of obstacles. What motivates you to continue aside from all of the obstacles? Like, don't you give up? Don't you think sometimes like, hey, this is not working?
I do. And it gets very tiring. Managing a big group gets very tiring. But alhamdulillah, we have, like in the kitchen, we have the classic catering guys that are doing an amazing job. And they deal with all of the cooking, that front. So I don't have to deal with that side. I just seeing the smiles of the workers when you give them a meal, or just when you do something good for someone and you see their reaction, to be honest, that's priceless. And I encourage everyone, and what I also want to try and organize at some point is organize trips abroad for people to go out and physically get involved in projects all over the world, because alhamdulillah, we're very privileged here in the UAE. And I think people, you know, when you go out, I was in Bangladesh a few months ago for work, and just seeing people and how basic life people are living, and they're so happy. I would encourage people to travel the world and do good.
So now you mentioned at the Rafah border, you were giving out toys, and, you know, to people who donated and then maybe they've stopped, like, is that impactful? What were the reactions like when you were donating to children in Palestine?
To be honest, it's priceless. I mean, these children have gone through so much. I mean, none of us can imagine because, so we've seen a lot of children. The five-year-old children seem like they're 15. They're matured a lot faster because of everything that they've gone through, and they've just had to they've had to move around their life just to become the men and the family for a lot of them. So a lot of them are a lot older than they seem. Yes, they are children, but at the end of the day, they've matured a lot faster. It does make an impact. I would encourage people to continue to support. This isn't over yet. You know, there's still going to be a lot happening over the next few months and a year. And who knows when it's going to finish. But just even if it's one dirham a day, you don't have to give 10,000 today. Give one dirham a day, and at least it's consistent. And if we all give one dirham a day, at least we're putting 10,000 dirhams in the kitty every day. Just keep it small and sustainable.
100%. We always talk about this on our show, but you must have as well faced a lot of obstacles, while donating and participating with your humanitarian, I would say, movement in Gaza. What are some of the obstacles that you have faced?
So I think with technology now, mm-hmm. there's a lot of ways of being able to contribute and to support. Alhamdulillah, there are so many organizations as well. I think the UAE make it very easy for you to donate through all of the local entities. You also have all of the international entities that are doing amazing work on the ground. I know a lot of people have messaged saying, oh, can I go to Egypt and go to the border and help and so on. Rafah is very restricted for expats or for non-Egyptians. Even Egyptians need a specific permit to go. So I would say just do whatever you can, research whatever is available, because I know every day something changes and organizations come in and things happen. So I guess every day you just need to figure out what there is. And there are so many resources now online available to support.
Interesting. Let's. Our time is drawing to a close, but if we could just bring it back to Dubai, because I feel like we've pushed over. Manlo, because what you're doing is amazing. Bring it back to Dubai. So what is the process of what happens each day? How many volunteers do you have? You mentioned the number of meals, but how are you getting the meals out, and can we join?
Yes. So if you go to my Instagram page, All Classic Catering, there's a link to purchase a meal. It's 10.5 dirhams mm-hmm. for a meal. The more meals we have, the more meals we can pack and distribute on that day. So I guess I encourage people to donate, to purchase meals, support the kitchen. And it's if you go into my Instagram, you'll be able to find the link as well to the WhatsApp group where I post in it the opportunities every day. So many people want to volunteer, but we don't have that many slots every day. It depends on what's happening in the kitchen. But we do what we can every day to help.
Okay, amazing. And your Instagram is, so we can get the WhatsApp link?
Ahmed, AHMEDALI 12374. I don't know. Don't ask what the 12374 is.
I looked up Ahmed Ali before the show and I couldn't find you. So that's why Ahmed Ali 12374. There you got it. 8, 9, 10 on a Tuesday morning. Ahmed Ali, the founder of Draw Smile. We really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
That brings us to the end of the show. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
I love it again.